Welcome to the podcast, Loving on Purpose. I'm your host, Bonnie Lyman. If you're having trouble navigating through your relationships with your adult children, if you are struggling to connect with them or having specific challenges, you're in the right place. This is episode 12, When We Think Our Children Are Making the Wrong Choice. How are you, my friends? I hope you're doing well. I hope you're navigating this life with adult children or are anticipating that. It's coming. We get through those teen years and it essentially all comes back to learning to love them in whatever stage they are in. Yes, it highly benefits them. But it benefits us even the more. And that's why we want to get to that state. And sometimes it's just hard letting go of those thoughts that are causing us to feel hurt, upset, or angry, or resentful, or whatever they may be. And maybe you're not ready to let go of those yet, and that's okay. It's okay to be sad and hurt and resentful. But we have to come to some point in our life when we probably decide, I'm tired of feeling this way. That's what kind of happened to me. And I thought, I don't like having these, they were horrible feelings I was having. It was stories going on in my head about how I thought they felt about me. But oftentimes these thoughts come from our thoughts that we think our children are not making good choices, that they're making the wrong choice in life. And so we think it's coming from a place of love because we don't want to see them go through unhappiness or live destructive lives, but it's their life. And it's their figuring it out, just like we had to figure out our life. Ironically, it's interesting to think about. Many of my listeners are upset when their children leave the faith they were raised in. And yet, when I was an adult, I joined the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And I don't think my parents ever forgave me for that. And I know many of you listeners belong to this same church. And the opposite thing is happening. Your children are leaving the faith they were raised in. And you find that very painful and so bad want a reason as to why they are doing this. And yet, just as I had to figure out the type of life I wanted to live, they have the right, they have their agency to choose the kind of life that they want to live. And that doesn't mean that they're always going to live that life. So, was that a wrong choice for them to leave their faith? Maybe it was a necessary choice to make them even stronger in their faith and in valuing some of the values that you taught them. But I know that there's many other choices out there that your children are making that are even much more upsetting to you. I believe there are patterns in every generation. In each generation, there are several things that will change. Economic stability or instability. When I graduated from college, I was able to get a job right away. Within a couple of years, I was married. My husband had a job so that we could start a family, and I could be a stay-at-home mom, but it's different now. Social perspectives. changed. It's much more acceptable these days and much more common to have two income families. And that usually necessitates putting children in daycare. When they can be raised by a family member, it's of even greater benefit. But there's always that concern that we as the grandparents have that our children don't necessarily have. My children always called it, when their children, those that did go to daycare, so to speak, they called it school. My children are going to school. So do you see how that's a different social perspective? Family roles, spouse roles change. The sons-in-laws and sons in my family do far more work at home than what my husband did. And there's also a great change in political perspectives. And all of these things cause our children to view the world from a different perspective than we did. And all of these factors, these economic, these social, spousal roles, political perspectives, they are all factors in programming our brain to view ourselves living in a certain type of environment. These factors influence our perspective on what is right or what is wrong. Morally, they influence our view between what is a right and a wrong way to be living. Socially, we once lived very close to each other. We were lived close to the family we were raised with. And we were able to even financially support ourselves, maybe by living off the land. And so the spousal and the children's roles in those situations were very well defined. And civil and political debates were not really known or talked about or discussed. There was more of a commonality of social mores and how we lived. I mean, I was completely oblivious to what was going on in my parents' generation. My home life was one with a stay-at-home mom, a healthy economic situation. My mother's role was well-defined, that she cooked and cleaned and took care of the kids. And that was very typical of the time. And there was minor contention and debate over civil unrest. But it was beginning because I lived at a time when women's rights were becoming very dominant in our thinking and concerns in us. But growing up as a young child, that really didn't affect me until I got older. When I graduated from high school, I went to college and got a job and got married and had five children, just like I said. The unemployment rate was not discussed as a major issue, but social perspectives were beginning to change. More women were going to college and were getting higher degrees, which in turn brought up more social and political perspectives. What was politically and socially correct? It was at a time when the U.S. Supreme Court gave the right to women to have an abortion, to have the right to do with her body what she wanted. So all of these things affect the the permission given our children to think any way they wanted and to do anything they wanted and to live their lives as any way they wanted to live. As my children became adults, there was a major change in the economic, social, and political perspectives in our world. The role of adults changed as children moved further away from their nuclear family, and they saw their role in the family and in society much differently than when I first got married. A major change was, and still is, it's no longer easy to get a job after going to college or some other higher learning. And what is required is that both spouses need to earn an income to support the family. And with more women getting a higher education, they began seeing more and more opportunities to do something else in addition to just staying at home and raising kids, even while their children were still in school. The idea of having the right to spend our time or live our lives started when we came to Earth with being given the gift of agency. And so with each generation, my generation being different than my kids' generation, the perspective is different of what is appropriate use of that agency or how it should be used. Our opinion often becomes an expectation that often clashes with our children's choices that causes us to think that maybe something has gone wrong. Not only do we think something has gone wrong, but we sometimes think something has gone wrong with them, that they are doing it the wrong way, that they are not making wise choices. Now, there are choices that our kids can make regardless of what generation you live in that can be detrimental to living a healthy, whether it be emotionally or physically, well-lived life. But the result is that when our children are making choices that were completely unexpected to the kind of choices we thought they would be making, we as parents feel disappointed and frustrated and unable. It causes us to be unable to create within ourselves the type of parent we want to be to these adult children. I work with women all the time that are suffering because of the choices their adult children are making. They're sad, they're disappointed, they're resentful, they're angry, and they're fearful. And those are real feelings. And it's okay to have those feelings over unfulfilled expectations. One client told me her daughter was living with her boyfriend. And then in addition to that, which she didn't approve of, she was doing nothing all day but laying on the couch, watching Netflix, and then she went on to say, and she rarely showers. Her daughter is perhaps making a wrong choice, and maybe she will suffer from some of the consequences of our actions. But it's sometimes those wrong choices that teach her what she needs to learn that she could learn in no other way. Making a wrong choice does not mean there is anything wrong with her or really that anything has gone wrong. She still has the same value that she had the day she was born. She has that DNA within her of having a spirit created by heavenly parents who are the supreme, the most supreme of perfectness that exists. She is just merely exercising her agency. When mom has thoughts that her daughter's behavior is wrong, that her daughter is wasting her life, and that her daughter should be looking for a job, who feels the negative emotion? Not daughter. Daughter doesn't feel them. Mom does. Mom is feeling horrible. But it doesn't change how her daughter acts. And feeling horrible doesn't give mom the power to know how to be the loving mother that deep down she wants to be. Feeling horrible keeps her in that state of helplessness. Now, there's nothing wrong with feeling horrible, even grieving over some of these things. But when we do it to an extreme that we are stuck and we just keep spinning and our children's life keeps spinning, it becomes pretty obvious that this worrying and feeling horrible is not fixing anything. So if we were able to love someone that is difficult to love, that has greater influence in helping our children change than anything else we can do. When you love someone enough to love them regardless of their actions, you've come to a place of acceptance. And acceptance feels much more peaceful than resistance. Accepting somebody for just being themselves is the closest we'll ever get to loving like the Savior loves, like the Savior loves us, and like how He loves our children. I think we were asked to love everyone, just not for their benefit, not just because it's a good thing to do, but it will help us live a happier life than anything else we can do. And yes, we still will have those moments of disappointment and sadness, but it's more of a compassion to watch a child make some choices that don't look like it's going to have the best results or outcome for them is painful. So we just feel the pain for a little bit. We don't resist that. But we also know that we need to figure out how we can just love them. So how do we get to that level of love and acceptance that the Savior has? I think we do it by changing our thoughts. It takes work. You know, I went on a little shopping spree in Arizona with my good friend, and we probably went to 20 stores, and it was work. It was work trying on new clothes. Now, that may sound pretty worldly, but it's about the best example I can think of. It takes work trying on new thoughts. We have to find the thought that resonates with us. And then we have to learn to remember to think that thought or thoughts at those times when we want to go down that rabbit hole of their life is never going to turn around. They're never going to live a good life. But if we will be willing to practice thinking those new thoughts enough times, then they become beliefs. And when they are beliefs, we can find peace amongst the things that we maybe aren't real excited about or approving of. Some new thoughts might be, things never stay the same. They are figuring out things for themselves. They are doing the best they can. I can love my child without loving their behavior. Adult children make mistakes just like me. They are exercising their agency just as I am exercising my agency in the choices I make of how I want to live. They are just making different mistakes than I make. And the last one I offer you, it's not my responsibility to fix them. It's my responsibility to fix myself. When you get to acceptance, it gives you the freedom to just love your children. And nothing feels more wonderful than the feeling of love. And you know what else? Love also gives you the power to be able to feel negative feelings that come along with being a parent of adult children. And as adults, we are responsible for our feelings. You know, life is 50-50. True happiness comes from living in the middle. And that means of experiencing the good times and the bad times, having some very joyful, warm, just hang on tight to great feelings, to some negative, sad, horrible feelings. But we know that there's opposition in all things. If we did not have this great gift of agency that is also accompanied with opposition, we would feel no joy. Yes, we wouldn't feel the sadness, but we would also miss out on feeling the joy. We would essentially be robots, just doing everything the same, without any hurt feelings, but without any happy feelings. Feeling the love and feeling the despair is just part of life. The best news is we have control over it all. My mantra to get through my journey of life is, it's all good. I hope you figure out how to get through this journey of life with your adult children. I invite you to share this episode with anybody you feel that it might help, because that is what I am here to do. I'm just here to help you and anybody that is seeking help to navigate this life with adult children. If you want to reach out to me in any way, go to my website, BonnieLyman.com. Have a wonderful week. Are you tired of feeling hurt and sad all the time? If you're feeling stuck in the cycle of unwanted feelings we get caught up in when relationships with our adult children are not what we thought they would be, I can help you. Sign up for a free 45-minute consult with me. Just go to BonnieLyman.com and click on the tab Book a Call, and I will get back with you. After our conversation, you will have the clarity to make a decision on how you want to move forward in being in charge of your own feelings.